Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is, what is today? The 17th, I think, right? it's the 16th. Today is July 16th, and tomorrow will be the 17th. Yesterday was the 15th. I'd like to welcome all of you here that are live, as well as those of you that are listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by going to motorvitality.com and listening to years and years and years worth of the archives, or if you want to listen to the more recent programs only, then you can subscribe to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you use, like Google Podcast or Apple Podcast or Stitcher, iHeartRadio, all of those. Like to start the call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything that we can help you with?
Kelly, I've got something that happened to me a couple weeks ago that turned into kind of an interesting situation.
Please do tell.
So I went out to a customer's house, and during all this COVID stuff, they did not want to be there one bit. So it's the house has actually been abandoned for about a year, but it's been in their family forever. So she wanted me to go check on it because she will be moving in soon. They have a really old softener in the basement, not doing its job very well. So she trusted me just to go into the house and then to give her a call afterwards with my findings, which I hate to do, but I understood in this particular case because she was so concerned about COVID. So I already kind of had my hesitations on doing it. So I went out there, tested the water and everything, left the property, actually gave her a call just in the driveway, and talked to her for a while, realized I forgot to do the bacteria test that our company does bacteria tests. So I said, do you mind if I go back in there, take the, get a bacteria test for you just to give you some, extra confidence there? And she said, absolutely. So I went back in the house, got some water for the bacteria test, and no pressure at all throughout the whole house. So I immediately thought, what did I do? How did I mess this up throughout the whole house? I mean, it was fine 15 minutes earlier, and then all of a sudden, no pressure. So I went down to the basement where the pressure tank was.
Yeah.
And I know enough about pressure, the whole well situation, that I didn't think it was going to be anything too big. But I knew that I should definitely tell the customer. And I was pretty concerned about what the customer would I mean, everything, I just told her everything was fine 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, all the water's off, and now I'm going to call her and tell her something's wrong back in the house a second time.
Right.
I was a little concerned that, she'd point fingers and say, what did you do? You did something. But I did the right thing. I gave her a call, and I said I was able to get enough water for bacteria test, so that's good. But the water pressure in the whole house has completely stopped, and I think it has to do with that pressure tank, and it's probably something small. But I let her know. I thought it was the right thing to do to let her know what was going on, because I couldn't stop thinking, it definitely passed through my head, if I don't say anything about this, what's going to happen? And that would be so bad, and look so bad for my reputation, the company and everything.
Yeah.
I would never do that, right? So I let her know, and she was thrilled that she totally trusted me. She was thrilled that I let her know, because she said the plumbers were just out there a couple weeks before. So it might have to do with that. And she was happy that I...
Have you followed up with her to see what it was, Corey?
So I called her again a couple weeks later just to follow up with her, because I hadn't heard anything about, what she wants to do or anything like that. And I thought for sure that she just wasn't going to go with us. because of that.
Yeah.
And I called her, and she again was thrilled that I followed up with her. She said, I'm the only person that has followed up with her. So kind of that's another takeaway from this is always follow up with people because it's definitely appreciated. And she just, with all the stuff going on, she hasn't had a chance to move in, but she did have the plumbers back or the well people out there again. And it was a really simple fix, apparently. So that's good. She didn't know exactly what it was, but
I'm trying to figure out what that could be. Anybody have an idea what that might be with the pressure? So I've seen water just shut down before when the well was run dry. You know, like I've talked about that story before when I was testing. You know, I've seen that happen. I'm wondering if, you know what it could be. I also have seen it. Yeah, there's on some submersible pumps, they have actually a little light switch where you can turn, that's not a light switch, it's a pump switch, where you can actually turn the pump off, you know, the well pump off, like right away, just with the switch. So if you'll still have water in the pressure tank. Yeah, because you've got that pressure tank filled with water, right? So you'll turn on the faucet and you'll still have water coming out. But then as soon as the water runs out of that tank, the pump hasn't kicked back on to replenish it. And so, yeah, it would drop suddenly there too. Yes, that could happen.
I'm thinking it had to do with the switch or power or something like that. But, you know, I didn't have a connection to a well company. I just wished at that time I would be able to refer her to somebody that could take a look at it.
Sure.
That was kind of my second big takeaway of now, you know, if I had somebody or someone I could even talk to, if it's an easy fix that I could take care of real quick, that would look a lot better than me having to call her and say, hey, something's wrong. I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah.
I got into the conversation a little late. But, you know, the pressure switch could do that. If the pressure switch is bad, it doesn't, you know, it goes down low and doesn't kick on.
Sure. That's right. So something to do with the,
I mean, the pressure switch is usually what happens. If you kind of rap on it and it kicks on, then it's bad and needs to be replaced.
Yeah. Right. So if the pressure switch isn't telling the pump to kick on, that would also fall under the category of that's an easy fix. So
can't
right.
It's not all galvanized and old.
We've all seen those too. So no, that's Corey. That's I think that's really good. Very good. Anybody else have anything? So I had a question. And this is one that, you know, I've mentioned before that there are times that I have to relearn things, you know, and you know something. You've been in the industry a long time. You know, you learn things, right? You know, you have the experience. But then if you don't run across them a lot, it sometimes takes a little bit of time to recognize what you ran into, you know, what the situation was. And so we've had a situation with one of the clients that I'm working with where they were going out and changing quite a few membranes because they would go out and test the TDS on an RO. The TDS would be, you know, well, you test it first on the faucet, you know, where you have, let's say that just for simplicity's sake, you have 100 parts per million of total dissolved solids on a faucet out of the tap water. And then you test the RO and you've got, say, 25 parts per million. Okay. What do you guys think? What's the issue there? What's going on? And not Bob or Maria, because you guys already know the answer to this. So I want to know what you guys think. If you test the tap water, you see 100 parts per million, you test the RO water, the permeate, and you've got, say, 25 or 30 parts per million. what do we have going on? And oh wait, let me add this too. It's a 1 year old membrane in a pool house that hasn't really been used in about, you know, 4 or 5 months. Any ideas? Do we have a bad membrane? Yes, sir.
What it sounds like to me, maybe, and I'm sorry, you cut out there for a second on my phone, but what it sounds like to me is if it's not used that often, that you might have some TDS creep coming in. Yes, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe I didn't hear the whole.
So TDS creep. All right. Anybody else have a thought on that?
Well, that's kind of my thought. My understanding is the more they're used, the better they basically backwash, and the more pressure there is against the membrane, the better it's going to work.
Okay.
So,
anybody else?
Message, so need to flush it.
So what would you suggest, Stacy?
Flushing it out. Run a bunch of water through it for a while and see if
yeah.
it gets better.
Yeah, so that was you both are exactly right. Okay, so I wanted to take this. This is something that I knew, that I have known for a long time. You know, we talk a lot about reverse osmosis in the old WQA training and in the new stuff. And even in the classes that I've kind of taught and gone through, I didn't really talk about this, although I need to. And then this came up with this client, and you know, I discovered that they were going out and replacing membranes that were only a year or 2 years old. I don't think in most cases the membrane is bad. I think it's exactly what you were saying, Jen and Stacy. And that is that when most reverse osmosis systems, right? If you understand how reverse osmosis works, you've got the membrane there in the center. So a lot of times when you're training this, you think about the fish tank, right? Where you have the fish tank, and if you flattened out a membrane, you could put that in the center of the fish tank. On the right side of the membrane, you've got salt water. On the left side, you've got pure water. Osmosis says that the pressure, that the pure water is going to try and seep through that membrane and dilute the salt water. Reverse osmosis applies reverse pressure on that, so you essentially squeeze the pure water out of the salt water, and what goes to the drain is the excess salt water. Now, I know I'm drawing a picture. For those of you who haven't been through this training, you're probably totally lost on that. I recognize that. But for those of you that are familiar with that, I wanted to just kind of paint the picture. So when you have the tank, the storage tank, that is storing the fresh water, the permeate, in that tank, the TDS is going to be pretty low. It does a good job. But there is usually constant pressure still on that side. And so because of that pressure and because the membrane is sitting there surrounded by the same salt water, you are going to have small amounts of what is called TDS creep through that. So if you haven't drained that storage tank out in a long time, then you are going to have a higher TDS in that storage tank. The answer is not to change the membrane usually. The answer is to do exactly what you suggested, Stacy, which is to to drain the tank a couple times, the storage tank, and let it produce water again. And then you will probably be at a 95 to 98% rejection rate. You know, at least a 90% is what you should be at with most systems. So, you know, for me, that was one of those things that I knew when I learned about reverse osmosis systems a long time ago. But then when the situation came up, I'm like, God, it just doesn't sound right that you're replacing membranes. Membranes shouldn't go bad in a year, not unless there's something like chlorine, right? So if you're throwing chlorine at it and it's a thin film composite membrane, let's say you don't have a good carbon filter on as a pre-filter. Well, yeah, you're gonna destroy that membrane, and then you're gonna have high numbers. So anybody have any questions on that? Did I just go way too detailed for a phone call? So, TDS creep would be the answer on that. Anybody else have anything? So I wanted to talk just briefly about, I got a call yesterday. That was forwarded to me. It came from a company that was one of the guys in the office that with the company that I'm working with in New York sent me this because, and this was a supplier of product that wanted this company to, wanted this dealership to carry their product. And they sent it to me because I'm handling some of the, some of that stuff for this company. And, I spoke with her and she was talking about this revolutionary new product that was going to revolutionize everything. And I'm not going to give the name of this product right now, but I wanted to read this. Just that she sent me a brochure of this. She said it's made 80% in the United States. But anyway, this system's residential system takes care of all your pretreatment water needs with one simple process and zero chemicals. The product is safe, energy efficient, and environmentally responsible. This patented technology has been tested and proven effective to treat the most challenging water conditions for industrial, commercial, and residential use. It disintegrates all environmentally harmful and hazardous substances instantly with one single process. The results are immediate, even on the dirtiest contaminated water. Each unit is quick and easy to install, fully automated and self-cleaning. Just turn it on and let it run. Improves the quality of water by eliminating bacteria, viruses, and parasites, neutralizing foul odor such as hydrogen sulfide, reduces scale formation, biofilms, algae, and improves water color, oxidizes heavy metals, including lead, arsenic, pesticides, pharmaceutical substrates, and other carcinogenic, spelt wrong, by the way, on their brochure, carcinogenic elements, breaks down and eliminates both organic and inorganic contaminants. Environmentally responsible choice. Each unit is quick and easy to install, fully automated, and self-cleaning. The energy consumption required to operate this equipment is equivalent to that of a hairdryer. Our innovative technology is safe, effective, and addresses all your water needs with one chemical-free step. All right. I wanted to talk about what jumps out at you in that. What comes to mind? Okay, too good to be true. All right. What else?
Where has this been all of our lives?
Yeah. Yes, right.
Yeah, so this just like solves all the world problems.
Right. Okay, what else?
What would you be willing to pay for this wondrous item?
Sure. Okay, so we know that it's too good to be true, but I wanted to talk about this specifically kind of in terms of number one, any idea what type of, you know, this, when I was talking to this lady, I kind of felt bad for her because I don't think she realized who she got on the phone. But, when she's throwing these promises and all of this stuff around and the, you know, the script sounded, I mean, very generic and very good, but guess what type of product, I mean, for those of you that have been in the industry a little while, what type of product do you think they're describing here? What do you think this is?
Were they trying to describe a whole house RO?
Well, you would think, okay, so if it were a whole house RO, it wouldn't fit into the easy to install category.
Yeah. So it's got a lot of absolutes.
There are a lot of absolutes. This product, by the way, would retail for about $200.
Pretty good.
it's one of those, looks like a mini softener, sets on the sink countertop, and you redirect your water through that for drinking water.
So let me, I have a benefit now of looking at the picture and of also having had that conversation, but I'm sure some of you have run into these in the home. And this is why I wanted to talk about this today. There were a lot of things about this that I really wanted to kind of discuss. Okay. First off, let's identify the type of technology that this is, because they always claim it's new. They say it's patented. They throw around all the fancy words. There are absolutely no certifications or anything like that. I mean, this little brochure was done with you could do it. It's just very basic. It's not anything fancy. But if you walked into the house and ever seen one of those things like strapped onto a copper pipe or a pipe and it's got a coil around it or these metal clamps on the pipe, it's on the external, you know, it's on the outside of the pipe, right? And it usually has a box, a wire that goes from that to a box that hangs on the wall with a little LED light on it.
A scale buster.
And yeah, exactly. Sort of like those scale buster type things. Yeah. Except this one doesn't really focus on a lot. In fact, I asked her on the phone, I said, so does this thing take care of hardness and scale too? And she goes, oh yeah, I forgot to mention that. Yes, it's a descaler as well. I'm like, oh, that's convenient, you know? But it's, that's exactly what this thing sort of looks like, is a scale buster. Normally, I don't see the scale busters make the kind of claims that they were making in this.
No.
Okay, but that's the type of product. So for some of you that haven't seen this, basically it is you'll see them. There is these, a lot of times they'll have just a metal coil that wraps around the pipe. Usually they're a box though, or some sort of a fancy looking tube thing that's clamped to a pipe somewhere. There'll be a wire running from it, and there'll be a box on the wall that has an LED light on it that flashes a different color or that's supposed to indicate that it's working. Usually they say that it changes the molecular structure of the hardness and the scale and does all kinds of stuff. And you know, people buy them and swear that they work because of the, I just believe it's the placebo effect, because they've done testing on this and there are no quantifiable results. But anyway, this one went in. So I wanted to talk a little bit about this first paragraph. I want to kind of talk about the WQA code of ethics for just a second here. Okay. Because if you're sending this out, there are a couple words here that I wanted to highlight that we should not be using. Okay. This patented technology has been tested and proven to treat the most challenging water conditions for industrial, commercial, and residential use. Okay, fine. That's fine. It disintegrates all environmentally harmful and hazardous substances instantly with one single process. What's wrong with that sentence? It disintegrates all environmentally harmful and hazardous substances instantly with one single process.
Absolute.
It's an absolute statement, right? It's an absolute statement that cannot, it just simply, in its entirety, can't be true. Okay. How about the results are immediate on even the dirtiest contaminated water? Okay. Does that jump out as, would that satisfy the WQA code of ethics?
It just sounds like a lie.
Well, WQA recommends strongly against using words like dirty. And even if we're going to use the word contaminant, we need to make sure we're clarifying what that means. Okay. Eliminating bacteria, viruses, parasites, neutralizing foul odors such as hydrogen sulfide. I mean, it's just going through here. And like I said, spelling the misspelling on it is always a, well, I don't know. Maybe I'm a little more judgmental on that than I should be. It's that Ball State thing, isn't it, Stacy? Huh?
Yes, it is.
that's right. So anyway, let's take the last couple minutes then. And let me ask you, would a customer buy this thing? Would a customer be interested in buying it? If they saw that, if they heard the presentation, you know, the sales, I hate to use the word pitch, but that's what this was, right? Her script. If they heard that and then saw this brochure, what would, I mean, we all know, we all jumped on it and said, oh, too good to be true, right? You know, but we're in the industry. What are the customers' reactions going to be if they saw something like that? And do they see something like this? Is this type of stuff out there?
I'm assuming. I mean, there's all sorts of websites for all sorts of things, and you can get some, quote, doctor, unquote, to verify it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They always do seem to have that doctor such and such, don't they?
Uh-huh.
They, yeah. And this is he's a doctor. He's a real doctor, and he said it. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. They, right. So what's everybody else think? Is this out there? What would a customer buy this?
Oh, yes. There will be customers that fall for it.
It sounds great. Yeah.
Go ahead, Maria.
No, I'm sorry. It sounds great. It's people will, they will believe.
So they're looking at your system to treat what? Just a water softener is just going to treat the hardness. You got to put an entirely new system put in to treat, you know, completely separate systems for what you're talking. I mean, let's say you have a system. Think about your product. You've got a customer that has nitrate, hydrogen sulfide, bacteria, iron, all these other carcinogenic contaminants, known and unknown. And, you know, think what's your price range for treating that system or for treating those problems? They're looking at that, and then they're looking at this thing for $250. Are they going to, now, most people are going to go, okay, there's something amiss there. But there are plenty of people out there that are going to, and I wouldn't say, I'm hesitant to use the word fall for it, because it is a lack of, basically, I think it has to be our responsibility to make sure that we're educating them and ourselves on what this stuff is. Okay, if they fall for it, as we're saying, I think, and we have had a chance to get in front of them and talk to them, I think that's more on us than on them. Although the truth is, some people might look at it and go, you know, it's only $250. If it works, I'll be happy. If it doesn't work, I'll just be out $250. That's a decision made with logic. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Okay.
We're not gonna come in at anywhere from $5,000 to $8,000, depending on the water.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, so how do we, I wanted to take a couple minutes and talk about, you know, how would we explain that difference? What are we going to, you know, when we're faced with that situation, and it may be this product, it may be a different product, okay? But how do you, you know, how do you address this with a customer when they ask about this product? What would you suggest to them?
Because they need to check on that company's third-party certifications.
Okay, good. Certifications make a big difference, right? I asked this lady yesterday if they had NSF certification or WQA certification, and she said, well, we were in the process of getting it, but then with COVID, we had to hold it. We had to hold it off. It takes so long. Okay.
WQA's been there.
I mean, this is a product that would never in a million years get certified by anything. So, but that was a good, it was kind of a good line, you know, for if somebody's not looking for, they may feel like they did their due diligence there. Okay. So, but certifications, that if somebody's legitimately asking you, what's the difference, how does it work, then I would recommend that they look to see if there are certifications, to see if it's, you know, and exactly what you guys said right at the very beginning. Wow, that sounds almost too good to be true. I think I would ask the customer that. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Well, they're going to say, yes, it does. It sounds really good, doesn't it? Like, you know, doesn't it seem odd that the equipment that I have is so much more? And call any other legitimate water treatment company around here and see if they're going to have this. Well, this is new technology. It's not new. They've been in the back of magazines for 50 years, you know. So we're almost out of time here. So I just kind of wanted to summarize this and say, yes, look at NSF certifications, recommend that they do their due diligence in researching it and figuring it out. See if they can get referrals from the company that, you know, to see if there's anybody else out there that has had, you know, look at the quantifiable testing. Some of them you're just going to simply lose. And if that happens, you weren't going to probably get those customers anyway. They were looking for an easy fix. You might get them down the road, though, if you're respectful and you don't treat them like they're stupid for deciding to buy it. That's the biggest thing, is don't demean the customers for wanting to try something that they don't yeah. understand. You know, so any final comments on this or questions or thoughts? Okay, then with that, everybody, we have 9 o'clock. I'd like to thank everybody. I did want to thank Jen for running last week while I was out of town. So, and Stacy, you participated a lot. Everybody else who participated a lot in that, I really appreciate it. Everybody, be safe, please. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you next week, if not before. So, thanks, everybody. Thanks.